Hello, everybody, and welcome back to For the Girls. Oh my God, do we have a recap for you? I had said to Sarah and Chessa, like partway through the race, I was like, this could use a little more excitement. And boy, did I eat my words.
Yeah. That text really aged well when we got back on it.
Yabba dabba doo. We have a lot to talk about. But first, before we dive into it, reminder that anyone can sign up for the Discord. I know we've been posting some stories on Instagram of the fun chats and starting to post some highlights in TikTok. And we've gotten a bunch of DMs asking for the invite, people saying they thought it was private. It's 100% free and open to all. So the link to join is in our Instagram bio. Come join us. And the memes are on fire. The chat is firing. There's a lot of excitement to be had. So we're also going to do a little British Grand Prix preview coming at the end of this episode. It's the last race of the triple header. I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. We will sadly not be joined by Sarah today because she is on her much needed vacation. So sad, but
Tifosi territory.
Tifosi territory. It's just me and Tiggy today. Okay. Overall thoughts and takeaways. F1 is back, baby. We are so freaking back. I am so happy. It feels like after Miami, we kind of started to get a sense of what could be for the rest of the season in terms of just like things being shooken up a lot, and race after race after race, we started to see that. And I would say F1 is back now. So I'm really happy. I think, you know, it's easy to say, oh, well, George might have just only, you know, he only won because of what happened between Max and Lando, but that's F1. You know what I mean? And I think he came out, he had an amazing win. Everyone else had such incredible wheel-to-wheel racing up and down basically the entire grid. We had teammate battles. This race had it all. It was really, really exciting.
So much excitement. And yeah, I agree. F1 is spoiling us these past several races. I feel like ever since Adrian Newey dropped the bombshell he was leaving Red Bull, we've just been spoiled. And Max running over that ballast in Miami, everything has just, there's been a lot of excitement since then. I really loved this race, and not just because of what happened in the last 10 laps. I was a little, you know, impatient, waiting for some action at the beginning, but the teammate battles, we'll talk about this, but just Alpine, Haas, like shout out to Haas, all of their excitement got lost in everything that happened in this race, but double points finish, okay, Hülkenberg and Checo fighting a Haas once again, but yeah, really, really exciting stuff and lots to dive into. So let's start with MVPs. I'm going to give it to these teammate battles and to Nico Hülkenberg for delivering. He kept a calm head. There was a lot of fighting between K-Mag and Hülkenberg. And it's interesting because probably neither of them are going to be at the team next year. But I love that they still feel like there's a lot to play for, and just sneaky being able to deliver on a Sunday when Haas usually hasn't been able to show that pace, and a double points finish. So congrats to them. We will get into all the other excitement and MVPs, but I got to give a shout out to Haas because they deserve it.
A Saturday team moonlighting as a Sunday team. We love it. Exactly. Those were good ones, Tiggy. I think I'm going to give mine to Piastri because even if it hadn't been for what happened with Max and Lando, like he was having a great race. He started P7, unfortunately, and there was points, you know, before the whole drama unfurled that he was running P3. So I think he had an amazing race. I think it's just still the beginning for him, and he always gives us glimpses at his brilliance. So it was nice to see that. Okay, LVPs. We'll talk about this later, but I'm going to give mine to Yuki for his extreme, I mean, unsportsmanshiply, like, you know what I mean? That's like the softest way to put his radio. I just really was not happy at all with that. So he's my LVP this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk more about this, but I am happy that the FIA has set a precedent with that level of a fine, £40,000 or euros, whatever it was. Yeah, just I'm glad that they set that precedent because that was truly uncalled for and just not okay. I'm going to give my LVP to Max. I know people have differing opinions on this incident, but I thought that racing was not cool. I think the stewards captured my thoughts on who was to blame in that tussle. And I just think I really think Max is an incredible driver, deserves all the respect, all the accolades he gets. But I just think putting him in this situation of having to fight for the win is showing some of the behaviors that I don't think he has fully gotten rid of, as we saw in 2021 with Lewis and other years as well. I just don't think he raced in a mature way today, and
he hasn't flexed his racing muscles in a very long time.
And I just don't think that it's brought out the best sportsmanship-like, whatever the word
Why can't we get that word today? Damn. Well, we will definitely talk about that. Okay, so how did our hot takes hold up?
I had a Checo podium. That did not fare very well for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, you did that to yourself, though. You knew that wasn't going to happen.
I was feeling like he's coming back. He has a lot to – I mean, I guess he signed the contract already, but he still has some stuff to prove. And Red Bull, as we know, if you're not proving yourself – contract doesn't really matter. That can go away. Oof. So
I hope that you might have just jinxed it and we'll see some stuff happen next year. Anyways, mine was a Ferrari podium, which now, you know,
not
I'm kind
hot.
Of
hot.
I know. I'm so soft on the hot takes as I'm saying, and I'm like, darn, I should have been a little bit more specific. But we did have a Ferrari podium. So I win, I guess.
Asterisk win, I would say.
Okay. So yes, we have lots to talk about. So let's jump in at the top of the weekend. Remember, it was a sprint weekend, so we only had one practice. Max topped the timesheets here, but not without a little bit of drama. At one point, he was literally stopped in his car on the track in the middle of the session. He had some engine problems, which caused a red flag, but they were able to get him to the pits, get it all sorted out, and he was back out there. So we had Max, Oscar, Charles, Carlos, and Lewis in the top five.
For the sprint quali and sprint, for sprint quali, this was close. Both the McLarens were in tip-top form, putting a lot of pressure on Max, which was definitely foreshadowing for the actual sprint race on Saturday, which we will very much talk about. We had Max on pole with Lando in P2, only 0.09 seconds behind, then Oscar P3, George P4, Carlos P5. Other notable results, both Aston Martins outside of the top 10, just sort of indicative of what's going on right now at Aston Martin, and then both Alpines ahead of Charles in P8 and P9, and also kind of indicative of Alpine having a little bit of a comeback.
They had a little bit of a moment this weekend. I don't know if we should go as far as to call it a comeback, but we could
Well,
say.
If we were starting at like P18 and P19, I feel like this is good. They're in the mix for points.
So the sprint itself was very, very exciting, and in my opinion, it's definitely kind of shows us why we have sprint weekends in the first place. We had amazing wheel-to-wheel racing, which is what everyone was here for. So it was awesome. So first thing, though, is the race started with an aborted start. Remember in Monaco when Checo had that scary crash and the photographers were really, really close by? Well, what happened here was that race control was very concerned over the position of some photographers at turn one. So they had an aborted start, which kind of means that everyone had to do an extra formation lap, and then the length of the sprint was reduced by one lap.
On the new start, the second start, Max pulled ahead, kept P1, but on lap 5, Lando had an epic late-breaking moment where he overtook Max. Max ended up taking P1 back, but this whole battle caused Max and Lando to slow down a bit, which then got Oscar swooping in, passing his teammate for P2, and just saw some amazing wheel-to-wheel action up and down, especially amongst George and Carlos battling it out for P4. Charles was able to make up some ground to go from P10 to P7. Checo dropped back from P7 to P8, but was still able to pick up that final point. And so in the end, we had Max, Oscar, Lando, George, Carlos, Lewis, Charles, and Checo as our point scorers.
It was kind of like a foreshadowing-y type sprint race for what was going to happen for the rest of the weekend. Just like everyone battling out and Checo at the back, Charles at the back, unfortunately. So for the quali for the race itself. So Q1 was a pretty close session. Everything after kind of P4, P5 was very, very contentious kind of right up until the end. So knocked out, we had Albon, Stroll, Bottas, Sargeant, Joe. That was a double knockout for Williams and for Sauber, which is a bummer. For Q2, also a very competitive session. Alonso said that he was pushing so hard he, quote, nearly crashed, but he was not able to convert that. So knocked out was Danny, Magnussen, Gasly, Yuki, and Alonso. And it was very exciting. We had Haas to have Hülkenberg in Q3, also kind of foreshadowing for the weekend.
Yes, we love this Haas excitement. For Q3, there was a bit of an issue with Hamilton in the pits where Jack was stuck to his car. He nearly took it with him before it fell away off the back of his car. And we saw some issues with track limits. Oscar originally qualified P3, but his lap time got deleted. McLaren did protest that, but it was rejected by the stewards because it was, quote, inadmissible. We mentioned this in our preview, but last year's race had over 1,000 track limit violations. So this year, the FIA installed what they called kind of a natural deterrent. So a 2.5 meter wide gravel strip behind the curb at the exits of turns 9 and 10 to make the limits more clear. And Max set a pretty strong benchmark that no one could beat. It was pretty crazy. In the end, we had Max, Lando, George, Carlos, Lewis, Charles, Oscar, Checo, Hulkenberg, and Ocon. But what was crazy is the gap between Max and Lando was just as tight as the gap between like Lando to P7 or whatever it was.
Crazy.
So Max was just so much farther ahead and the rest of the field was so tight. And this was Max's fifth consecutive Grand Prix pole at the Red Bull Ring, the first time he's achieved this at any circuit. So the crowd was going wild, tons of Orange Army in the stands, and obviously Red Bull's home. So it was a big moment.
Yeah. Speaking of just like the general weekend, the vibes were so strong. Like, I don't know if anyone was watching the race, you could hear the cheering so loud, like through just, you don't get this at every race. Like, it was very, very intense just watching it on TV, and the Orange Army was definitely everywhere. And it's a very beautiful weekend. It was kind of like the weather looked similar to what Tiggy and I had had and with Sarah last year at the race, but it's just beautiful, sweeping Styrian countryside. I think there was 302,000 people there this year. It was amazing. So let's jump into the race. We'll talk briefly about the start, and then we'll give you all the full DL on everything that happened at lap 52 and beyond, and then we'll go team by team like we usually do. So at the start, everyone started on mediums except for Joe. He started on hards. It's kind of unusual to have basically literally everybody on the same starting strategy. So we had that. So for the actual start itself, it was very, very great start for Max. As usual, he's been coming off the line very fast these days. And then we did get to see some awesome wheel-to-wheel action between Lando and George for P2 and Lewis and Carlos for P4. And yeah, we had just like some good action. Hamilton got ahead of Sainz for a second, but he had gotten the advantage from going off the track, so he had to give that place back. And then there was some Piastri wheel-to-wheel action both between him and Checo, and then him and Carlos. And then we also saw Lewis and George kind of tussle it out. I wouldn't call it like a teammate battle. It kind of happened very quickly, but it was fun to watch. And I think what happened in the end was Charles got some damage from his, you know, little contact with Piastri, and he had to go in on the opening lap, which is just super, super unlucky for him in a long string of unlucky moments for him. So he had to get a whole new nose and box. And then kind of after that, like the first couple laps, the race seemed to basically just settle into what we thought was going to be a pretty standard race overall. I think that's when Tiggy was like, I would love some excitement.
Yeah, at that point, Max was, I think, almost 10 seconds up. Everything kind of changed around lap 50. It was a pretty fast and furious last 20 laps with a lot of drama. So we'll give you the full breakdown. The domino that kicked this all off was when Max went in for a pit stop on lap 52. He had an uncharacteristically slow pit stop, especially for Red Bull, 6.5 seconds.
Yeah.
The announcers were like, that's a far cry from the 1.9 last weekend. And then got stuck behind some traffic in the pit lane. So by the time he was back out on track, the gap between him and Lando and P2 went from over 7 seconds to just about a second to 2 seconds. And this is when we started to see Max feel the pressure. And he even had a brief lockup on track. So absolutely crazy.
So from then on, we started to see the epic wheel-to-wheel action that would end in this, I wouldn't like, I call it crazy incident, but the race-ending incident. We had Lando complaining on the radio, first of all, about Max moving after he moved. So I don't know if a lot of people caught this, but we got a lot of people writing to us in Instagram about it. But basically what happens is you can only defend once, right? And so Lando was kind of like radioing in saying, Max is moving after I moved, and kind of moving around in the braking zone, which you're not allowed to do. You can only make the move to defend once. So that was kind of the first thing. Just kind of showed how desperate Max was in defending Lando and how tight this battle was going to be. And at this point, Lando had gotten a track limits warning. So on top of all of this wheel-to-wheel racing and stewarding that he was doing in his own head, he had to be extra, extra careful for not surpassing track limits. In the end, he did get investigated and did get that 5-second time penalty, which kind of became irrelevant based on how the rest of the race played out. But yeah.
Yes. So lap 59, this is where Lando passed Max, but would have to give the place back for overtaking off track. It became extremely heated. Max definitely feeling a lot of pressure and even accusing Lando of, quote, dive bombing to overtake him. At lap 63, we had a similar situation where it looked like Max might have to give the position back to Lando. And then lap 64 out of 71, this is where everything went crazy. So it was getting so contentious that it felt like something dramatic was going to happen. Lando went around the outside of Max. They made contact with both of them getting punctures and falling way back. In the end, Lando had to retire. Max finished P5. And this is when the opening for Russell to come in and win happened. And Toto got on the radio saying, George, you can win this. George, you can win this. And George responded.
Like, so fast. Toto, like before you could even see George getting in first place, Toto was like, George, you can win this. It was so chaotic.
So funny. George was flustered. He was like, just let me bleeping drive. He was like swearing, which George doesn't often do.
Yeah. It was definitely a lot. And then on lap 65, Oscar passed Sainz for P2, and we almost thought we were going to have an Oscar win. There was a slight possibility of that, but then we got a virtual safety car, which in my opinion came – a lot of people are going to maybe go after me for saying this, but personally I think it came at the right time because it gave me a second to take a breath and like decompress after all that had happened. But it pretty much neutralized the race after that. We had George's second ever F1 win. We had Oscar in P2, Sainz in P3, followed by Lewis in P4, and of course Max. And our radio of the week was George saying in true F1 fashion, it isn't over until it's over.
So, and really the yabba dabba do, but that felt I didn't really want to figure out how to spell that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your beloved car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're looking for speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. They have over 122 million parts for your car. You'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And they have eBay Guaranteed Fit, which means your part is guaranteed to fit your car every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're about burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. So keep your car alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This summer, do not let anything slow you down, especially not your PMS symptoms. With the Happy Mammoth products, which we've been loving recently, especially estro control, you can support your hormones and alleviate all of those symptoms while also doing things like assisting and maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also creates the Viral Hormone Harmony supplement, and as a company, they're really dedicated to making women's lives easier. So that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make absolutely no compromise when it comes to quality. So for a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
All right, so let's go team by team. Red Bull, this weekend shows that they have strong competition from McLaren. Max is really going to have to keep working all season long. Lando winning in Miami was not a fluke, it seems, and just having so many different people in contention at this point. The fight is tight, even if Constructors isn't fully showing that at the moment. I think we're getting there.
And I think, like, despite how stressed Max seemed all weekend for the battle, this has got to be fun for him. Like, we talked about this all last season, that he must just get super bored cruising out in front, like 20 seconds ahead all the time. So I think he will reflect on this race and be like, damn, I'm glad that it happened. And now we have a true battle.
You think Max is going to be glad that it happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, no. I think Max is like too much of a competitor to be happy and satisfied with just like racing at the front all the time. So in retrospect, I think he might be happy that he's getting some competition.
I disagree. I think Max just likes to win, honestly.
And of course he likes to win, and like maybe we'll see him keep winning. But remember last season, and honestly at the beginning of the season, he was like, I don't know how much longer I want to could be an F1. Like, I think he was just getting bored with it. And so maybe like subconsciously a spark has been reignited and he's happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he enjoys having a fight on occasion, but I do think Max's comments about leaving F1 have more to do with maybe the schedule and the calendar and the different demands that get placed on F1 drivers versus winning all the time.
Yeah.
But it was fun to see him having to fight for it, defend so hard. He was definitely frustrated on the radio, complaining about the tires, that the car had no grip. The commentators were saying he was driving kind of desperately almost. But I think we have to talk about the big conversation, the incident with Lando, which the stewards did decide was Max's fault. They handed him a 10-second time penalty. But let's talk about the comments. So in the post-race interviews, Lando basically said, I did nothing wrong. He was in the wrong. He should be the one to say something. I gave a fair and respectful battle, but that's not what I got in return. And so Max basically said he would take a look back at the footage, that they'd talk about it, but things needed to cool down. Basically said that it was, you know, the many mistakes that they made as a team that put them in that position in the first place. So they definitely seem to have different views of the situation. But let's discuss, whose fault was it? Should Max have received more than a 10-second time penalty? And is there trouble in paradise? Chessa, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I think there's a lot to think about here. I think Max could have easily, and I think other drivers might have done this, who knows, like when Lando was in the press conference moment sort of calling him out, just like been super defensive and jumped back in. But instead, I think he had the good grace to kind of say, okay, I'll think about it. I'll look back at it and decide. I mean, I agree with what the stewards decided. I think it was Max's fault. And so everyone else kind of thought it was Max's fault. So Max not fessing up to it definitely didn't look great. And it's going to cause tensions between Max and Lando. They said, okay, we'll go back and talk about it separately. And so part of me wants to say, you know, Max did the right thing by kind of like deflecting a little bit and saying, okay, I'll go back and look at it and not necessarily being super defensive, but he probably could have taken some of the blame. In terms of could it have been more than 10 seconds, I don't know. I think it could have looked worse than it was. Like, it was a very specific hit that they had that made them both DNF, but they could have easily had a little hit and just both been fine and not had those catastrophic punctures, kind of like Alonso and Joe elsewhere in the race, and Alonso got 10 seconds. So I don't know. What do you think?
I have to side with McLaren on this one. I think I actually enjoyed Andrea Stella's comments after the incident. He said, the entire population of the world saw who was at fault except for one group of people. And the problem behind it is if you don't address these things, honestly, they'll come back. And he basically referenced the Lewis situation, the battles in 2021, and that those needed to have been punished in a harsher way. And they didn't. And so he was basically insinuating that Max as a driver has not learned from that because they weren't really punished. And he did end it by saying, we have so much respect for Red Bull and for Max. They really didn't need to do this. And it's kind of a way to compromise your reputation. Why would you do that? The punishment should be proportionate to, you know, the incident when a car is having to DNF because of it and potentially losing the win.
Do you think it should have been more than 10 seconds?
I think so. I think that these things tend to go punished in a way that's, I agree with Andrea Stella, like it's not really commensurate with the incident themselves. And the fact that Lando is getting 0 points, potentially losing a win and falling behind in the constructors' battle to Red Bull even more because it wasn't really punished. So I do think that it was Max's fault. And yeah, I'm happy that Max didn't get on in the post-conference interview and be like, it was all Lando's fault, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think that takes away from the racing and the incident, which I do think was his fault. My main question is, whose side is Martin Garrix taking? And are Max and Lando going to get along?
Lando's. He's definitely taking Lando's side.
But I have to say, it's interesting to me that Lando keeps getting driver of the day. I mentioned this in the last recap where I was kind of almost playing devil's advocate a little bit of like, it was Lando's race to lose and he still got driver of the day. And this race, he DNF'd and yes, he drove well, but it, you know, it's interesting to me that Lando does keep getting driver of the day.
Yeah. And people on Instagram had a lot to say about this too. I think what I think about it is that people want to see Max have competition. And I think Lando is the front runner in that potential, and people have goodwill. So I think that's what's going to happen. I think people are voting for Lando because he's the only contender right now, and they want to see it.
Yeah. I love Lando. He deserves the hype and the excitement. And I actually really enjoyed the Telegraph piece on him this week. If you haven't read that, it's really good. So definitely recommend. But yeah, I recognize people are going to have different thoughts on this. And I think maybe I'm a little bit more against Max in this situation because of the history with Lewis. And it just does seem to be a bit of a trend when he is fighting for the win instead of just being so far ahead. But I also have a ton of respect for Max as a driver and think he's incredible. And had he not had that 6.5 second pit stop, he would have won the race by 5+ seconds, you know? So
yeah, for sure. And it feels like kind of an afterthought at this point, but Checo wasn't really in the conversation at all this weekend. He also had a slow pit stop over 8 seconds, managed to take a P8 start to P7 though. But yeah, generally very, very tough for Checo, not really part of the conversation at all.
There's still a long season to go, but yeah, it's always tough when you're talking about a Red Bull and a Haas competing against each other multiple weekends in a row and Checo just not delivering. So kind of difficult. For Ferrari, this race was pretty split amongst teammates. It was the first time Carlos has out-qualified Charles in 7 races, and he had a great result with a podium finish. Charles, on the other hand, the woes were woeing. He had a horrible streak of bad luck. He's had one since Monaco when he won the race, but ever since then, it's been kind of a disaster for him. He hasn't had a top 4 race start since Monaco, and the race went from bad to worse for him this weekend after pitting for some minor damage on lap 2, going from a P6 start to a P11 finish, just to go from winning Monaco, your home race, and then getting lapped by the race winner only 3 races later is just brutal. The graphic that they showed, 63 seconds or whatever, I was like, you do not need to be showing this graphic between Charles and Max right now.
For Mercedes, I think for them, the weekend just went from good to great. After the sprint and a decent quali, they really looked like they had the pace to challenge the Ferrari. Both teammates picked up points in the sprint, and then George had his best ever start in Austria at P3. So really great. I think it wasn't super contentious, but it was really nice to see also George and Lewis having some wheel-to-wheel action at the beginning, battling for P3. And now we're really happy for George's win. Now that we've had 5 different race winners in 11 races, which is amazing. This time last year, we only had 2 race winners in 11 races. So we're super lucky.
Yeah, just awesome for George. And yes, he did get the win sort of handed to him. But at the same time, at the end of the day, being in the right place at the right time deserves credit. And he absolutely put himself in the right position there. And so I think he fully deserves that win. Super exciting for the team. And obviously, as a Mercedes fan, I'm so happy that they got their first win. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And I think it's also really good for the team that it was George that won it and not Lewis, I think, just given everything that's going to happen next year. So good for George.
Yeah. Although there's definitely a little bit of trouble in paradise, I think, with George and Lewis right now of some of the, yeah, fights. But I have to say, for the pose at the end there for George, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's so PR trained, just hitting that intro pose real quick and then hopping off. Like he needed the photographers to get that shot, and then he was off the car. It was hilarious.
For McLaren, great racing for the team this weekend. It's definitely starting to feel a lot more sure that the car really has the pace to challenge Max and the Red Bull all season long. Oscar had an amazing race, like we said earlier. Even though he had that tough P7 start, and even before all of the late race drama, he really was running for P3 at one point. The crazy ending, of course, did work in his favor. And while P2 is super solid, we kind of did wish we loved that moment where we had a potential for an Oscar maiden win. It was amazing. And then, yeah, Lando had a really great race. It's so, so disappointing to see how it ended up for him. And you could just tell by the way he was getting out of his car that he was completely pissed off at the outcome of the race. So he will be coming back guns a-blazing for sure.
Yeah, I think McLaren is just killing it right now, firing on all cylinders. And I was really happy about a Mercedes win, but I was feeling very torn. I was like, oh, an Oscar maiden win versus a Mercedes first win of the season. Like, how do I choose here? For Aston Martin, not a great weekend for the team, neither driver finishing in the points. So just another kind of unfortunate result for them. Stroll went into the weekend fresh off signing a renewed contract with the team until at least 2026. I was very surprised about the multi-year announcement. I was not surprised he got re-signed, but multi-year deal to me feels unhinged, maybe is not a polite way to say it.
Do you think they were just going to sign him for 2025 and then wait for 2026?
Sort of, yeah. I just think, and I don't dislike Stroll, but I do think that if they're really trying to gun to be a world championship winning team, Stroll is not the driver pairing you need alongside Alonso to do that. And so I just...
Yeah, I mean, there's so much fresh meat on the market. I feel like they could have anyone else, you know?
Look, I love Aston Martin, and I don't mean to say I don't take them seriously as a team at all, but I do think that this announcement and this signing and continuing to stick with the boss's son when he's not performing is not a good look.
Well, with that being said, Stroll did go into the weekend fresh off of that news, kind of on a high with that renewed contract, and he had some good momentum. He finished P13 ahead of Alonso, who also finished out of the points in P18. Alonso got that 10-second time penalty for causing a collision with Joe, which definitely was rough for him. I think jury's still out on maybe if it was too much or not, but definitely tough for the team to just be getting passed by Alpines, not really showing what they want to be showing. So I think they'll be coming out hoping to be stronger for next weekend.
For VCARB, big news of the weekend was Yuki's obscene, unacceptable radio message during quali on Saturday. He was frustrated with traffic, said something completely inappropriate when referencing other drivers on track, and like we mentioned, as a result, got a €40,000 fine. He did apologize on Instagram, which was nice, and said that he wasn't 100% sure kind of what that meant. We won't go any further than to just state that. But the other piece of VCARB news was that Danny celebrated his 250th Grand Prix start, and he did finish in the points and ahead of Yuki. So that was good for him. Happy for Danny there on the 250th occasion, and also just kind of fighting for his life to keep a seat.
The big news for Williams is heading into the weekend, they have been on kind of a recent hiring spree. They've hired 6 senior level technical hires from rival F1 teams, including the kind of marquee one is Matt Harmon, the previous director, technical director for Alpine. Really exciting for the team and a very clear indication of kind of how serious I think that they are about creating a winning future for themselves in the sport. And I don't know, do you think Adrian Newey could be next perhaps?
And James Vowell saying that it will be names you recognize. So we'll see. For Alpine, like we mentioned, fun wheel-to-wheel action between them, including the usual sassy radio comments from both of them. Gasly saying ciao as he passed Ocon was one of the highlights of the race. David Coulthard said on the commentary that it has not been a marriage made in heaven in terms of them not getting along, but at least it's entertaining. I think Julian Palmer was the one who said that it's the best soap in Formula One. They're wheel to wheel every weekend. They're drivers that grew up really close to each other. They really don't like each other. And so it's just kind of fun to watch it happen. But as we know, right before the race weekend, Gasly did re-sign a long-term contract with Alpine that will have him at the team beyond 2025. That leaves a lot of discussion about who his new teammate could be. We know Ocon will be parting ways with the team at the end of the season. We talked about this a little bit last episode, but Jack Doohan is potential. Mick Schumacher is also a name in the ring who will be doing an F1 test. And Carlos Sainz has entered the chat as talking to the team as well. I mean, Carlos is talking to everybody, but this has been in the news a bit more lately, and think that the team's decision to sign Flavio Briatore and their talks of giving up their engine program and becoming a customer team has definitely made things a bit more interesting. So what do you think about Carlos? Should he be prioritizing kind of more of a competitive seat, even for just a year, like Mercedes, which did apparently offer him a one-year deal? Or do you think he's in the position to make a gamble on potentially more up-and-coming team for a longer term?
I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I think Sainz should have just signed Mercedes for 1 year when he had it.
I don't think that's a hot take.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think he's not really in the position, just given where he's at in his career, what he's accomplished, what he wants to accomplish, namely, which is just winning. Like, I don't think he was
really in a position to gamble for some sort of like middle fledgling team when a Mercedes seat could have been a really smart move to get some wins under his belt leading into what is going to be a very different year in 2026. But what do you think?
Yeah, it's just so risky. And he will look like an absolute genius if he picks a team that is kind of the dark horse. And then in 3 years, he's winning championships with them. We've said that Carlos is the domino that needs to fall for the driver market, but I almost feel like it's Adrian Newey. Do you think Carlos knows where Adrian Newey is going? I feel like if he did, he would have already made a decision, but he must not know, because in my mind, it would kind of be a no-brainer to just like follow where Adrian Newey is going and just kind of put your chips, attach your cart to that horse in a way for the long term. But I get the sense that he must not know.
I don't know. Maybe he does, though, and that's why it's taking so long. Or maybe he's waiting to find out. He must know. He's waiting to find 100%. Out. I think that's a really good point.
But yeah, I mean, if you take that off the table, if you take Adrian Newey off the table, I do sort of agree that Carlos is at a point in his career where it's really risky to be going to a team where he could be kind of sitting at the back and not really able to fight in a car that's going to deliver him points. So it's really, really hard to say. Someone was also saying, or it's kind of been rumored, that he also is waiting for Max to announce as well, on the off chance that Max leaves or something happens. Jos Verstappen drama is continuing to rear its head. Christian made some comments about Jos Verstappen this weekend. He said, well, at least one Verstappen might be available, and that's Jos.
Oh my God. that's hilarious. But imagine a Checo Sainz pairing at Red Bull. That would be extremely novel.
It does seem improbable, but if you're Carlos, you do not want to close any door or any possibility before you know fully, like, the number one driver on the grid has not announced a re-signing yet. So
I feel like we could just talk about this forever. Like, he must be going through every single permutation that he can think of what could happen next year, what could happen to all the teams, what about 2026, what about all these new hires, what about the engines? Like, there's just so much for him to be thinking about. We could literally sit here forever and debate it.
This is the Formula One roller coaster. You just never know. But the last thing I'll say is, if Max does not re-sign for 2026, like, we know he's in the car for 2025, but if he does not re-sign for 2026, like, if I were Carlos, take the Mercedes seat for a year and then go to Red Bull.
Yeah, I feel like that's just the most logical step. Okay, to round out the rest of the teams for Stake, Sauber, really tough weekend for them, especially with Joe getting pushed off the track from a collision with Alonso. So yeah, only up to go from here. Yet another no points weekend for them. And then Haas, I can't believe we're talking about them last. They are kind of our Cinderella story for the weekend. They finished both in the points. We had Hülkenberg P6 behind Max, who was in P5, which I feel like I never thought I would say that. And then we had K-Mag in the points as well at P8. And then we also have to mention those amazing wheel-to-wheel team battles. It was amazing stuff for Haas.
Huge. For the standings, we have Max with 237, Lando with 156, Leclerc with 150, wow, Sainz with 135, Checo with 118, Piastri 112, Russell 111, Hamilton 85. So it is tight in the kind of 2 through 7, 2 through 8, which is fun. And then constructors, Red Bull 355, Ferrari 291, McLaren 268, Mercedes 196, Aston Martin 58, VCARB 30, Haas 19, Alpine 9, Williams 2, and Kick Sauber 0.
And with that, that is our Austrian Grand Prix recap done and dusted. Stick around. We're about to give you a quick little recap or preview of what to expect for the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. It's definitely one of the most iconic and historic tracks on the calendar. It's especially important race for Mercedes. They have two British drivers, and Lando, of course, it's his home race as well. And then
coming off of Austria, a lot of the teams who aren't far away, a lot of them have factories in the UK. So it's kind of home races for the teams as well.
Definitely. It's going to be an absolute fun one. So circuit, one of the fastest tracks on the schedule, lots of very fast corners. Lewis compared a flat out lap on this track to flying a fighter jet, which is just wild. So drivers can feel up to 5 G's of force at full racing speed around certain corners. It's tied with Monza for highest top speed, 225 miles per hour. track changes over the years have actually been designed to reduce speed just to make it safer, make it a little bit more manageable and controllable. But despite being a super fast track, medium downforce setups will definitely be favored since the corners here are very technically demanding. So definitely going to be interesting. It is on the longer side of a track in terms of length, 52 laps, 5.9 kilometers, two DRS zones, which is funny because we're going from one of the shortest laps on the circuit with three DRS zones to one of the longest with two. So a little bit of a different vibe.
I love the history of this track. It actually began as an airfield for British bombers during World War II, and then they kind of built a perimeter road around that whole Royal Air Force Station, and that's what became the track. It's super historic. It made its debut in 1950 and actually hosted the first ever F1 race in history. It's also the only GP to have never missed a year on the F1 calendar aside from the Italian Grand Prix, and earlier this year, the circuit renewed their contract with F1 through 2034, so we have another decade of incredible racing at Silverstone ahead of us.
You can't get rid of Silverstone. It's an absolute classic, and we really do want to go to Silverstone hopefully next year. So last year's race, record crowd in attendance, good wheel-to-wheel action. It was also the first time since 1999 we had two British drivers on podium. So the race started with Max P1, Lando P2, feeling a little bit like this season after Max had narrowly beat out Lando, who had provisional pole. Lando had an incredible start to overtake Max, and he wasn't able to hold him off the whole race. It was still exciting. It was a big weekend for McLaren overall. They saw their upgrades really pay off with P2 for Lando, who fought hard against Max, and what could have been a P3 for Oscar were it not for a last-minute safety car. But this was sort of when McLaren's rise began, and we haven't looked back, which is great. We also had great racing up and down the whole grid, a great George versus Charles and a Hamilton versus Alonso battle. We, in the end, for results, had Max P1, Lando P2, Lewis P3. So Lando and Lewis as the Brits on podium, and rounded it out with Oscar and George in fourth and fifth.
Okay, in terms of what you can expect from some of the teams, I think for Red Bull, Max is going to be back with a vengeance for this race after Austria. He'll be looking to handle the pressure a little bit better, maybe fight for the win a little bit smarter here. And it's ironic that we're heading into this race after a pretty unpredictable and crazy race in Austria, because Silverstone fans or people in general were complaining that the reason that Silverstone might not be selling as many tickets is because racing has gotten a little bit boring because Max keeps winning. So very ironic that that's happening here, given that we just had an amazing weekend in Austria.
Yeah. I mean, Max said it at the time. He's like, I think it's your problem if you're not selling tickets. It's not our problem. For Ferrari, Charles will be looking to forget last weekend, finally have a strong quali that hopefully puts him in good contention for podium and a solid points haul. The team will be bringing some upgrades to Silverstone to help get some extra pace at this very, very fast track. Mercedes, we have our double home race here. After a win in Austria, the vibes heading into this weekend will be impeccable. And I'm hoping that Lewis feels a little bit more at home in the car. He just kind of felt slow all weekend, didn't feel like he had the same pace that George seemed to exhibit. So hopefully the car will be back in fine shape.
I'm sure it will be. I'm very excited for that. For McLaren, home race for Lando, I think was after a really disappointing weekend for him in Austria, he'll just be coming back really hungry and ready for the win. So we're excited for that. And then for Alpine, I think the big topic of conversation will be, will they play nice, Ocon and Gasly? So we'll see about that. And then fun fact for VCARB, it was at Silverstone last year that the decision to replace Nyck de Vries with Danny was announced. So maybe this year we will get a full circle moment and get the confirmation on who Yuki's teammate will be next year. Maybe if Danny's coming back, since Danny is yet to be confirmed.
In general, I feel like we'll hopefully have at least one or two driver contract announcements. Carlos did say a triple header is not the time to be thinking thoughtfully about this decision, but I'm hoping that we get something ahead of that. For just a small piece of news, so updates on the anonymous email that went out accusing the Mercedes team of dangerously sort of sabotaging Lewis Hamilton's car. The team launched a police investigation. This week, it was reported that the results found no indications of criminal activity. We'll obviously keep an eye on what's going on here, but it seems to have quieted down for now.
Okay, let's do our hot takes. Let's make them British. Tiggy, what do you have?
British driver win. I don't care who it is. George, Hamilton, Lando, doesn't matter to me, but I want a British win.
Nice. Okay, I'll one up you and I'm going to say all Brits in the top five. So Lewis, Lando, and Russell all in the top five. So we'll see about that. With that, everyone, thanks for sticking around. We will see you next week for our Silverstone Grand Prix recap to round out what has been a crazy triple header.